Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us again for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor, senior citizens pastor at Brookside. And in the studio with me is our senior pastor, Pastor Ken Keltner. Pastor Ken, welcome.
Hey, well, hey, it's great to be with you, Pastor Greg. And I get to listen to these a lot of times when I'm driving down the road. And
yeah.
So I'm glad to be with you, and I look forward to our guests today. I think this is going to be a great broadcast.
We have Ricky and Valerie Bennett in the studio with us today. And Ricky and Valerie, thank you so much for joining us. It's awesome joy to have you.
Glad to be here.
And thank you for having us.
And as we were just talking a few moments ago, you folks were both believers when you got married, but a lot of things took place prior to that time. Didn't they?
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
And Ricky, did you grow up in a home that took the kids to church?
No, actually, it was to the contrary. My father, even to this day, is an unbeliever, and he was heavily into the occult.
Okay.
He actually had altars in the basement with the emblems and everything.
That's what I'd call the contrary. Yeah, yeah, okay.
But in that, my mother, though, you know, she talked him into letting us go to the neighborhood church, which happened to be a Lutheran church.
Okay.
But, you know, every Sunday he allowed us to walk up there, you know, on our own, but she couldn't go.
So, okay.
So did you grow up here in Milwaukee?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, all my life.
Okay. So you're born and raised right here in Milwaukee.
Born and raised.
Valerie, how about you?
I'm from Chicago.
You're from Chicago.
I am born and raised in Chicago. I am a Bears fan.
Well, that ends our broadcast.
That can get us in trouble, you know, in church if we start wanting to know who's Packer fans and who's Bear fans.
But we will extend grace and mercy to you.
Well, thank you.
So thank you. What part of Chicago did you grow up in?
The west side of Chicago.
Okay.
And some of the north side as well. That's where we spent a lot of our time. My grandmother lived over on the north side, and we spent a lot of time over there.
Right.
Now, did you, Pastor Greg asked Ricky about church background. Did you have any kind of church background at all?
Oh, yes. My mom's mom, she went to church all the time. That's who I originally first started going to church with.
Mm-hmm.
Your grandmother?
My grandmother, yep. And then also when I went to go visit my father's mother, she as well was a church attendee, and it was like two different backgrounds, though. It was like one was Baptist and one is what you call sanctified.
Okay.
Pentecostal,
maybe.
Pentecostal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yes. So it was two different backgrounds,
right,
on you know, mother, father side.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So, Ricky, that was a rough beginning then. Did you hear the gospel at all when you were a child?
Well, like one time, like speaking of my grandfather who passed, you know, he took us to church. He took me to church once. You know, if we were at their house on Sunday, before he went to church, he had everybody, you know, which my mother had 16 brothers and sisters and a lot of grandkids. He'd make us all come downstairs and he would have a little service there.
Oh, okay.
You know, if we were staying over there at that time. So
right.
He would have it. But so one day, you know, we had to stay the whole weekend. So I asked to go to church with him. And he took me to church, and so then we came back. We had moved away for a little bit to Illinois. We had just came back, so we were living with him for a couple months.
Gotcha.
And he took me to church, and so then my father and my mother came to pick us up, and I told my father I wanted to be baptized. So he beat me up, he took some water, and made a cross on my forehead and says, now you're baptized.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, Ricky, you're talking about your granddad having everybody come down and teaching, and, you know, it reminded me of a discussion, you know, that I was involved in with Tony Dungy, who said, he said, you know, I felt like I had a drug problem even as a little kid. My mom and dad drug me to church all the time.
Right.
and he said, my mother, he goes, I was well-versed in the Bible. He came to the Lord a little bit later in his life, but he said his mother would teach Sunday school, and to practice, she would practice teaching her lesson Thursday night and make them all come to where, you know, she wanted to practice on them. And he said, but Mom, I'm going to hear you on Sunday. Doesn't make any difference. You're going to hear me now, and you're going to hear me on Sunday morning. So your granddad was telling you, hey, come on out. And was he a believer?
Yes, yes. Yeah. He was definitely a true believer.
So that was been where you kind of heard the gospel was probably initially was from your granddad?
I would say a mixture of that, but one thing that, you know, and it, of course, it came back to memory. If, you know, we get to my testimony, you'll hear more about it. But my mother, because after my father stopped letting us go to the church, she would have us get up and while he was still asleep and watched Charles Stanley.
So
we would watch him, you know, when we were very young, and be laying in the living room watching Charles Stanley.
Right, right. Wouldn't it be fun to get to heaven, you know, and for people like Charles Stanley to hear stories
like this?
Oh, he has no clue that you guys first heard the gospel through his ministry. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is with each one of us. You know, we may witness to somebody through the course of the day and they don't make a decision for the Lord. And maybe when we get to heaven, they'll go, "Let me tell you." And we'll go.
Right.
It might have been they were listening to this radio broadcast.
Yes.
And they listened to Ricky and Valerie Bennett, and they're going to want to.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You know, when they get to heaven after they see the Lord, they're going to say, "Hey, can you show me where Ricky and Valerie are?" Because my mom or my dad had me want to listen to that broadcast because there was something remarkable that took place. And when we get to your testimony, it just shows you the saving grace of our Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ricky, having just been pushed down, it just kind of became easy for you just to kind of step back from the Lord maybe and just begin to live your life the way you wanted to?
Well, so, I'm glad you asked that. One day, you know, because my father was very abusive as well. It wasn't just a matter of, you know, cult and this. He was very abusive.
Is he still living today?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
He's still living today.
Yeah. And so is that a close relationship you have with him or no?
No. I mean, I love him. You know, I have no problems with him. Matter of fact, you know, when I got saved, you know, I just wrote him a letter from prison and let him know that his responsibility to father, you know, is my father in heaven now, you know. So however you want to be relationship from this point will be fine with me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So one afternoon, you know, it was a little park down the street from our house, and I had, after watching Charles Stanley, and I was just so hurt about the family, and I was a real sensitive kid, you know, sensitive man too, I guess.
Well, that's not bad. That's a good trait.
That's okay.
Like.
So, and I walked down to the park, and I kneeled on the bench, you know, because I was, you know, Charles Stanley said, if you just, you know, call out to the Lord, say you believe, and so on and so on, you know, and so, you know, I kneeled on my knees, and I looked up and I said, God, I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, and I want to be saved, you know, and I was just calling out. And I sat there, nothing. I always tell everybody this when I give my testimony. Just recently before that, I had seen the Blues Brothers. I don't know if I've ever seen the movie The Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
But when they were in church and they got saved and they were doing the cartwheels and the sky opened up and everything. So in my heart, I was looking for that experience when I did that to know that things were changing.
Right.
I felt nothing. And so at that point, I highly got discouraged in things of God. And I came up with a philosophy that God isn't real. It's just a philosophy that makes people act right.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's when I started to pretty much back myself up from, you know, the concept of God.
Yeah, that's kind of the dangers of Hollywood, putting something together that makes, you know, even you, how old were you at that time?
At that time, I was probably about 8, 9.
Yeah, see, 8 or 9 year old, you know, seeing something, thinking, oh, this is what happens when you come to Christ, the heavens open and all that. I mean, there are several things that happen in the life of a believer that we can't really see, you know, initially. But, if they put a movie together that, hey, you're going to do cartwheels and the earth's going to open up and God's going to speak to you and all that, that could send you, and it sounds like it did. It sent you regressing backwards.
Because then I still had to go back to the house and, you know.
Face your dad.
Face my dad. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, that ultimately for my family, that's the help that I wanted from God. I mean, I guess I, you know, understood about salvation to a degree listening to it, but I was also more had a ulterior of, you know, motive of, you know, feeling love in the household, some kind of change, you know.
Right.
So I was calling out for that.
Mm-hmm. So then what happened? You know, when you said I started regret, I mean, did your whole spirit change? Were you an angry young man then? Were you?
Well, I got more
you're
secluded.
You're a big boy now. I don't know if you were big then. I mean, were you looking for fighting? I mean, were you saying, "Hey, I'm gonna make my mark"?
No, it was just weird because as a kid, like I say, being very sensitive, and I was bigger than my older brother. I used to protect him. You know, I was, you know, he's 11 months older than me. You know, Romero, and I used to protect him because I was always built. You know, even the young, I was always built. You know, but I was still very sensitive. What I did is I secluded myself, you know, and I started making myself a little more hard to see the people, you know, and then I started going in, you know, more internally in my mind and making decisions, and you know, I started making things like what is bad is good, because all the people who seem to be doing bad, which in my heart, yeah, I knew was bad,
right, right,
but they seem to have all the fun, uh-huh, all the girls, all the cars, right,
yeah,
the money,
yeah, right,
and so that's when I started going that route, you know, pursuing, mm-hmm, things the bad way,
right,
you know,
right, because it appeared that their end result was pretty good,
yeah,
you know, like, yeah, hey, mm-hmm, everybody wants those things,
exactly,
right.
So how did you do in school? I mean, did all of this kind of start to materialize in your associations even at school? Did you get around some guys that?
As soon as I started high school is what it really tanked at. But, you know, the first thing I did is I went and I sat in the crowd. Like, say if you guys, please allow me to use you guys. But we walked up to the school and you guys were over on the side, you know, smoking weed and this and that. I walked right in the middle. Nobody knew me, and I just started smoking weed with them. You know, I would just walk into the crowds of the bad people, and then, mm-hmm, eventually in high school, I was probably the most notorious kid.
Okay,
I had a knack for, you know, looking and finding the little gray areas and working in them. So in, right, other words, right, you know, like I would go into the hero club or the German club, mm-hmm, and give them, mm-hmm, a fake name and get tons of candy. You know, and I'd sell the candy. So every, you know, my locker was just full of candy.
Right.
I actually got a hold of a glass cutter, and I stole the glass rings out, cut the glass. Yeah, I was pretty bad. I was a good, mm-hmm, passer. Look,
sure,
at me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're so big, I was wondering, did you play football too?
Yes, and I did. You know, yeah, I did. But actually, one of the biggest gifts our father gave me, you know, like I said, I love him, was chess. So that's what we were known for in school. You know, me and
chess,
my brothers. Yes, we took,
okay,
state. The trophies are still in the school that we went to.
Wow.
What school
Madison.
Did you go to?
Well, we started in Madison. And that's where we did all our chess stuff. But then I ran away from home at that time, and I was so bad they kicked me out at Vincent High School,
mm-hmm,
after that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, when you consider where you were definitely a good candidate for salvation, weren't you?
Definitely, definitely.
And you mentioned the aspect of your salvation in prison, and so next time we get together, we'll hear that story. But I just wanted to just say thank you for opening up your hearts. And before we come to the end of the broadcast, I wanted to mention to you folks that are listening to us about Missions Conference coming up here at Brookside. It starts on a Wednesday night, October 19th, and then goes through a Sunday night, the 23rd. And so every evening at 7 o'clock, we'll be having special services, missionaries sharing their stories and what God is doing in and through them around the world. Then on Saturday night, be a special banquet. We have an awesome time. That'll be on Saturday night, the 22nd. And so call the church and ask for information about that banquet time, and just some fantastic testimonies. And it's a thrill to see what God is doing through our missionary staff around the world. And we can be a part of it through our giving. And that's the excitement of our missions giving here at Brookside. But if you'd like to be challenged and your heart touched, plan to be with us. Again, October 19th through the 23rd, and we trust that God will bless you in a great way. If you don't have a church to attend, we'd love to have you visit us any Sunday. And it's 4470 North Pilgrim Road, and that's in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Well, until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.